and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Luigi Mangione, the suspect in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson on a New York sidewalk, is now charged with murder. The 26-year-old was taken into custody in Altoona, Pennsylvania, at a McDonald's when questioned by a police officer.
He had asked the suspect if he had been in New York City recently, and that really invoked a physical reaction from the suspect. He became visibly nervous, kind of shaking.
Altoona Deputy Chief of Police Derek Swope. Mangione had in his possession handwritten documents expressing anger against the healthcare industry. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro doesn't want Mangione to be seen as a folk hero.
I have no tolerance, nor should anyone, for one man using an illegal ghost gun to murder someone because he thinks his opinion matters most.
Sandwiched between the fragile ceasefire in Lebanon, a war in Gaza, and a political earthquake in Syria, the corruption trial of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu resumes today. Reporter Linda Gradstein sets the scene from Jerusalem.
Netanyahu had sought to delay his testimony in three separate cases dealing with fraud and breach of trust, saying that the events in Lebanon and Syria demand his full attention, but the court did not agree. He is set to testify three times a week for 6 hours each time. It will be the first time a sitting Israeli prime minister has taken the stand. He maintains he is innocent of all charges.
The Justice Department has charged two former Syrian officials who served ousted President Bashar al-Assad with war crimes during the Syrian civil war.
An indictment unsealed in Chicago federal court charges former Syrian Air Force intelligence officers Jamil Hassan and Abdul Salam Mahmoud with engaging in a conspiracy to commit cruel and inhumane treatment of civilian detainees, including U.S. citizens. According to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, from 2012 to 2019, Hassan and Mahmoud were alleged to have whipped, kicked, electrocuted, and burned their victims, hung them by their wrists for prolonged periods of time, threatened them with rape and death, and falsely told them that their family members had been killed. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
Six people are charged with human smuggling in a semi-trailer truck crash that killed more than 50 migrants.
According to the indictment from 2021, which was just unsealed, these smugglers moved the migrants on foot, inside cattle trucks and tractor trailers. The six men were arrested both in Guatemala and in Texas. They are accused of conspiracy and causing serious bodily injuries that resulted in death.
CBS's Adrian Bard reporting from Mexico City. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Badgers basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team is on the road taking on Illinois. The Badgers dropped in the rankings from 11 to 20th after back-to-back losses to Michigan and Marquette. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Magic in Milwaukee for another NBA Cup game. Damian Lillard only scored 11 points in Sunday's win over the Brooklyn Nets. It snapped a six-game streak of 25 points or more per game for Dame. Doc Rivers.
He struggled a little bit early, you know, but I thought down the stretch, he was clutch and got it going, made right plays. He's not going to have 40 every night. He's not even going to be great every night. No one is.
NFL, the Packers reviewed the tape of their game against the Lions.
We kind of went through the game recap today and just playing consistent football. I think there was a lot of opportunities in that game where we had advantages that we didn't capitalize on. And I think it always comes back to just doing the little things the right way.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a moviegoer who likes Thanksgiving leftovers, you probably found something to enjoy at the movies this past weekend. Only one new release was able to crack the top five, and only three flicks cracked the top 10. In first place, to no one's surprise, was Moana 2, which pulled in another $52 million in its second weekend in theaters. Coming in second place was Wicked, with a $34 million haul and $320 million take worldwide. And in third place is Gladiator 2, with $12.5 million. Indian action mystery thriller Pushpa 2, The Rule, brought brought in almost $10 million on just 1,200 screens to grab fourth place. Red One took fifth place. A24's latest, Y2K, pulled in a disappointing $2 million in its first week in release, good for eighth place. A re-release of Christopher Nolan's Interstellar took sixth place with $4.5 million on only 165 screens nationwide. There should be some big box office activity this coming week with the release of a new Lord of the Rings film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies, lows in the lower to middle 20s overnight with a breezy west wind. The clouds stay with us on Tuesday. Temperatures climbing to the upper 20s. Northwest wind still a bit breezy. By Wednesday, there will be a chance of snow. It's 30 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wrestling announcer and Civic Media's own Rich Lucchesio, Swedish jazz queen Gunhild Carling, and Northeast Wisconsin author Brett Kissinger. Let's light it up like it's a school night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up on the show today. We're going to talk all things education and school vouchers right after the 10:30 news with Heather Dubois-Bournain. I believe that's correct.
We'll find out.
We will find out. It's a great name.
It's very just like...
very distinctive.
Yes.
Like, be a great character in a book.
They own a home on a bayou.
Oh, we'll find out. She's with the Wisconsin Public Education Network, so we'll be talking about school vouchers. There have been some interesting cases around the country with, some naughty things going on.
Yeah.
next hour, at the top of the hour, Pete Schwabba, our friend and colleague and the host of Nightlight here on Civic Media from 6 to 8 p.m. He is going to be joining us. Of course, he was in this great article in the Cap Times last week or the week before. And also the Golden Globe nominees came out today.
Yes.
So we'll be talking about some of those.
Old.
And man, do I feel completely out of touch.
Yeah.
Wow. And we will wrap up the show as we do every day now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Drink Up Edition.
It's not what you think. It's not what you think at all.
Probably not. So stick around for that. Also, very excited. We have started our new statewide text to win contest. It's our grown-up gift list contest. And so every day at 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock, you want to listen in to get the word of that hour that you need to text in. And it's your chance to pick up either $100 in cash or an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells every hour.
Okay.
And then every hourly entry qualifies you for one of the grand prizes in the grown-up gift list, everything from an espresso machine to a robot vacuum. We're going to have 8 grown-up gift grand prize winners in the statewide text to win contest. So you want to be listening next hour.
Okay. Yes.
11 o'clock hour. We will have the word that you want to text in using the Civic Media app.
You must have the Civic Media app. You cannot text this in through your phone. You can't call it in. This is directly through the app. So you must download the free Civic Media app. And I know we were talking to Pat Kreitlow earlier today.
Yes.
And you've sort of thrown up your hands and said, I give up. I'm not going into this against Todd.
He's all powerful.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you give up the fight forever. And this is what I'm saying right now. Todd Alba, on behalf of Matinair on Air, I, Greg Bach, challenge you.
I mean, it's not like he's beaten us by a lot.
Exactly. That's my point.
But he has consistently beaten us.
Well, all I have to say is we get a Dan Schaefer on here on a Friday.
You think that'll put it over the top?
He's got the Schaefer bump.
We just need to make sure that Todd has really hard to spell words.
Yes, rhododendron.
I think that's perfectly fair.
Falafel.
There's all kinds of potential there. I don't think that they're going to do that. But anyway, next hour at this time, join us at 11 o'clock for the Word of the hour.
Word of the hour.
Word of the hour. I know what it is. I can't tell you yet.
I know what it is, too.
And you can't tell
me. I'll tell you.
No, you won't. That's coming up right after the 11 o'clock news. Wanted to start off with Governor Evers appearing on WISN's Upfront yesterday. Talking about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. We were just talking about this. I think it was just last week.
It was last week.
Because Robin Voss has talked about the budgets and budget requests and also those lazy, apparently, state employees working from home. But we had a number of clips we wanted to share with you. Why don't you set up this first one, Greg?
This first one is actually, so I think Robin Voss was on 2 weeks ago on Upfront as well, having these discussions because the budget's coming up. There's going to be a lot of back and forth, a lot of dealing, if you will. And one of the things that Robin Voss said, I'm sorry, the Popcorn King said in the interview, was his thoughts on certain budget requests as far as education and that one. And this clip here is Robin Voss talking about budget requests made by the UW system as well as the Secretary of
DPI.
Thank you. You never remember that acronym.
Department of Public Education.
Thank you very much. Calvin, can you play that first one?
The governor in his statement talking about the surplus looked to the next state budget, as I'm sure you saw. WisPolitics, our editorial partner, reports agencies requesting $2.1 billion in additional general purpose revenue in the first year of the new budget, $1.3 billion in the second. Revenue's obviously going up as well. In your mind, from what you have seen so far, what is dead on arrival?
We're not going to give $1 billion to the university. I can tell you that's probably not going to happen.
Sorry, education.
I think it's unlikely that we're going to give Superintendent Underley's request for this massive increase in education spending when we just gave the largest increase in a generation like 18 months ago. So that is nothing but a political document from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave us an increase after not doing anything for years and years and years and years.
And now they won't increase it at all. They'll just rely upon the municipalities to raise their own taxes, which he says in that interview, he has no problem with municipalities raising their own taxes for educational purposes. But, you know, $4.6 billion in surplus, we couldn't invest that money in education. Oh, nah, never, never. Well, Governor Evers has some thoughts on Speaker Voss. He said those yesterday on Upfront. Calvin, can you play that second clip?
Speaker Voss told us the UW funding is dead on arrival in his words.
Yeah, so was shared revenue last time, and we got through that. I mean, he can talk all he wants, but he, you know what? He ain't governor, and he's not in charge of the Senate. He's in charge of the Assembly. The Assembly looks a lot different than it did last time
around. Not different enough.
So I take his comments as it's the way he works.
He ain't governor.
Well, damn. No, he ain't.
And he ain't got a line item veto either.
There's that too.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I do think that asking for $4 billion was kind of, please, come on.
Well, I think also you start big. You say $4 billion and maybe your goal is 2, maybe your goal is 1.5, and you start big and you say, all right, let's work our way down.
Part of the negotiation.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to be like, if you need $7,500 for something, you're not going to be like, can I have $7,500? You say, hey, can I have 15 grand? Let's work it down.
True.
You know what I mean? So,
but that was a pretty substantial ask.
But I think, but as we talked about last time when it came to Robin Voss and in this interview with Robin Voss on Upfront, he makes this big, you know, this, we gave more money than in a generation. Yeah, but you weren't giving much to begin with in the first place. So don't pat yourself on the back too much here, buddy.
Right.
And now you won't give any more and you're making these municipalities raise their own taxes. That's not how this should work. This shouldn't have to go to referendum every single time they need more money. The state should have a desire to, wait for the word, invest in our children.
But that's not the way they view it.
Never.
I'm fairly certain they view it not as an investment, as throwing the money away.
Oh, no. And we're going to talk more about this with Heather from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, too, is like they think the fix is just vouchers. Vouchers this, voucher that, voucher this. Everyone get a voucher. And we're going to talk more about that with her. And as you were saying, the lack of accountability, you know.
It's astonishing what's been going on in some other states that are really, really pushing hard for school vouchers.
Jane, I knew a guy who started his own school in Racine, like a super Catholic school in Racine, and got voucher money. And it shut down within, I think, a year or two.
Yeah, there's so little oversight.
Yep.
There are so few requirements.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
If we should maybe the three of us should start our own school, you guys.
Calvin, you want to start a school?
Want to start a school, Cal?
Sure, I'm in.
Cool, excellent.
We'll call it Big Chungus.
Big Chungus U. BCU. And our buses will all be called Schooly McSchool Face.
Oh, I like that.
But the, so the other thing that, that you know, and this was kind of odd to me, it kind of came out of nowhere with Robin Voss's interview on Upfront, was the remote worker topic. Yeah, I know that like private corporations have been really trying to get their people back into the buildings. And this has, by the way, folks, nothing to do with quality of service, quality of work. This
productivity.
This has everything to do with the real estate. This has everything to do with wasting money on buildings they own instead of maybe divesting or selling them off and just, you know,
repurposing them somehow.
Exactly. So this is Robin Voss. This is from his Upfront interview a couple weeks ago, talking about what he thinks should be happening with remote workers who work for the state. Calvin?
I think we need to look and say, how are we going to keep Wisconsin competitive? In my mind, that's by making sure we have people who are working for the state of Wisconsin. We still have far too many employees that are working from home. We had that audit that came out over the summer. I think it was some employees hadn't been in the office in months and months.
State employees.
That's really an embarrassment. So number one, we need to make sure people are actually doing their job.
You want to force them back into the office?
I would love to be able to say people have to be back in the office at least 3 or 4 days a week. I mean, we saw Amazon, which was 3 days a week, just announced by January 1st, 100% of people are going to be back in the office. I think we need to look at how state government functions, and one of the reasons that we have not had the services we want to deliver is because a lot of employees aren't working, or they're working only from home and not doing it very well with little supervision. So I would love for us to be able to say, hey, if we're going to be giving more money to agencies, we need to make sure we're actually performing.
Yeah, I got a couple things there with Mr. Voss.
Yeah?
Keep in mind, this is the guy who works for 2 months out of the year for the state. Right? They're on vacation for 10 months.
Yeah.
So don't give me all this about the quality of the work is suffering if they're not in the office 3 or 4 days a week. Give me a break. And the other thing that he refers to is this all this data that they have.
Yes.
It doesn't, at least he hasn't shared, or I haven't seen anything that shows that productivity is down, that work is not getting done. They're just not there. And they're working from home. And the other thing, too, he talks about wanting to attract people in the workforce and have quality people in the workforce. A lot of people like working remotely.
Yes.
And that is attractive to them.
That is it. To me, you say you want to make the state attractive to out-of-state people to come here and work when you take away an option, an opportunity like that, you make yourself immediately unattractive.
Yes.
If you have someone who can work great and they work, I mean, granted, I think that state jobs should probably go to state people who live in the state. But if you have opportunities, that just makes you more attractive. And remote working is one of them. And this whole notion of him saying that we have the data, it's where is the data?
Well, exactly. Let's get into specifics.
Yeah, because... The department heads came, and I'm trying to find it right here. I found it right here. It said, this is, oh, I'm sorry. I talk too much.
We're going to go to break. We're going to continue this, and we have another clip from Governor Evers that we're going to play as well. Do you work remotely? Are you not getting anything done? 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute.
On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have basketball tomorrow night. Wisconsin and Illinois, 7 o'clock broadcast start. You can listen to the game on WLAK in Amory, WRCE in Richland Center, and WRJN. And 1400 AM in Racine, 98.1 FM in Kenosha, Wisconsin at Illinois. Hoops tomorrow, 7 o'clock broadcast starts. What?
You saying hoops.
But it's people call it hoops.
Hoops.
I say swish.
Dunk, dunk.
Swish, swish. Yes, that is tomorrow night, starting at 7 o'clock. We were talking about Governor Evers appearing on WISN's Upfront yesterday, and we're talking about educational dollars, and also Robin Voss very anxious to get everybody back into the state capitol.
It makes us more attractive, and it makes us more accountable.
Mm. Because apparently they're not getting anything done working remotely, although I haven't seen any statistics to back that up. Wes from Middleton texting in, listening on WRCE. Voss takes a year off every other year and has the audacity to call state employees working from home an embarrassment. I hear you, Wes. It's the glaring hypocrisy that just makes me crazy.
Yeah. And like he says it like it doesn't, like it can't be, like it can't be said to him in the room. Like, dude, you work 2 months. Like, answer that question. Why didn't Matt Smith on Upfront say you work 2 months out of the year? Who are you to say that these people aren't getting? You don't have the metrics. You don't have the statistics. You say you have the data, but you don't present anything. Now, granted, I'm putting a lot of words in Matt Smith's mouth. He is the one who is hosting that show. But
I just think Robin Voss would come back and say, well, that's the way it's written in the state constitution, that we only do this, you know, work 2 months of the year and then we're off.
Well, then I was asking if you really think you're doing the work of the people, then, of the public.
John from Oshkosh listening on WISS. I think studies show more productivity for remote work. I wonder if Republicans just want to force people back to the office and then hold them to the same productivity outcomes. Remote flexible work allows for much better work-life balance, which may just positively impact productivity outcomes. Crazy, I know. Yeah.
And one of the things he said in there, he said, we have the data that shows, and really that's not true at all. This survey that went out, we put this, and I will put this in the show notes for today, but we actually had it from the earlier episode a couple weeks ago. There was no metrics produced.
But, about productivity.
Correct. But Representative Mark Bourne, who is the representative of Beaver Dam, he's a Republican, he said, quote, these surveys all say from almost every agency that remote work is better, efficiency is better, these things are all better, but there's no data to support this. The surveys were filled out They were put out through the managers. So what you're saying is remote work is better, efficiency is better, all these things are better, but you think they're lies, or you don't think there's enough data to
support that.
To support them. I would say, are you talking to the agency managers, the department managers? If there was a huge problem, I feel like we would know by now.
I think you make a very good point.
And it really burns my grits to hear people speaking like that when you say like, oh, we have all this data saying that it works, but doesn't.
Yeah, but I don't like that.
I don't.
I don't believe it.
Well, Governor Evers has a thought on this too. He has a real simple idea, a real simple statement he said to Matt Smith on Upfront yesterday. Calvin, can you play that final clip?
He also told us the other day that he wants to introduce, as part of the budget, language that would require state employees to return to the office 3 to 4 days a week. Would you sign the budget if that was included?
No. 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 It's working. We're working. You know, we've heard for years the idea that somehow it's not fair that, so many of the people that work for the state of Wisconsin come from the Madison-Milwaukee area. Well, we went out of our way when we during the pandemic and post-pandemic to hire people in Rhinelander and all sorts of different places in the state because we knew they could work from home or work from an office that's remote from Madison. That's working. And, I think it's important for us to say we want to get the best people working for the state of Wisconsin possible. And sometimes that will mean that they will work from home part-time, full-time. We can work that out. It's working fine now. I know he's got all this data, and I can't wait to see it.
Bring it on, baby. Let's see that data. Can't wait to see it.
Welcome to Data Watch.
855-752-4842 if you want to join the conversation. Jack from Merrimack on the line. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say about this?
Well, first of all, I retired from teaching about the time Act 10 went into place. I had a wonderful year on it, and I'm one of these lazy teachers. I taught lab sciences. I was in the lab at 6:30 in the morning prepping for the classes, and generally got left school about 5:30. So I wasn't working from home. It's kind of hard to do that when you're teaching. But I did want to say this. In a 2023 article, I believe, by Ruth Conniff in the Wisconsin Examiner, schools in the so-called parental choice program scored worse than public schools in English, language arts, and did even worse in math. So-called school choice. One of the things that the people involved in school choice say is that, well, we have a much higher graduation rate. Well, yeah, if you can choose, and that's what it is,
right.
You can choose whom you admit to these schools, then you can choose those who are much more likely to graduate. That's the first thing. However, when I taught at a private school for a while, I noticed that there was a lot of pressure put on not the students to do their job and succeed. There was pressure put on the teachers to actually boost the grades.
Appreciate it, Jack. Thank you so much. We are coming up against the news. I'm sorry, everybody. We're not going to have time to get to you if you're waiting on the line. Apologize for that. We are going to continue talking, though, about vouchers and how well they work. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief, the arrest in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and charge of murder against Luigi Mangione for the killing in New York of a healthcare CEO begin a complex legal journey. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
The NYPD and the Altoona police are figuring out who keeps what and who evaluates what pieces of evidence.
As Syrians celebrate the end of the brutal Assad regime, CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb tells us there is concern about what will fill the power void.
Many fear that these are Islamists who want to impose some sort of religious rule over the country. However, there have been signals from their leader, a man by the name of Jalani, suggesting that he wants to bring Syrians together.
In Hollywood last night, Beyoncé and Jay-Z made a surprise red carpet appearance at the premiere of the Lion King prequel Mufasa, along with their daughter Blue Ivy. It was a day after Jay-Z was accused of raping a 13-year-old girl in a lawsuit he calls a blackmail attempt. This is CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Badgers basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team is on the road taking on Illinois. The Badgers dropped in the rankings from 11th to 20th after back-to-back losses to Michigan and Marquette. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Magic in Milwaukee for another NBA Cup game. Damian Lillard only scored 11 points in Sunday's win over the Brooklyn Nets. That snapped a six-game streak of 25 points or more per game for Dame. Doc Rivers.
He struggled a little bit early, you know, but I thought down the stretch, he was clutch and got it going, made right plays. He's not going to have 40 every night. He's not even going to be great every night. No one is.
NFL, the Packers reviewed the tape of their game against the Lions.
We kind of went through the game recap today and just playing consistent football. I think there was a lot of opportunities in that game where we had advantages that we didn't capitalize on. And I think it always comes back to just doing the little things the right way.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Nominations for the Golden Globes were announced Monday, and Variety is reporting that in the film category, Emilia Perez leads the way with 10 nominations. The musical stars Zoe Saldana and Selena Gomez, and is being called a drug cartel musical. Intrigued? I am. The film is available on Netflix. Not too far behind with 7 nominations, including Best Picture, is The Brutalist, a brutally long 3.5-hour drama set in post-war Europe starring Adrian Brody, Felicity Jones, and Guy Pearce, all three of whom are nominated for their acting chops. Focus Features Conclave pulled in 6 nominations, including for Best Picture and Best Screenplay, as well as acting nominations for cast members Ralph Fiennes and Isabella Rossellini. The Bear continues to dominate award shows on the little screen with 5 nominations. Only Murders in the Building and Shogun received 4 nominations each. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies, lows in the lower to middle 20s overnight with a breezy west wind. The clouds stay with us on Tuesday. Temperatures climbing to the upper 20s. Northwest wind still a bit breezy. By Wednesday, there will be a chance of snow. It's 30 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers is in with Tuesday Tangents and more of our grown-up gift list text to win contest. It's statewide. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Today is the first day of Civic Media's latest statewide text-to-win contest. It's called our Grown-Up Gift List, and it is underway today. Coming up next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, I will have a word for you that you're going to want to text in via the Civic Media app. You have to text it using the Civic Media app, and that gives you a shot at either $100 cash or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. This happens every weekday, 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock. So next word is at 11, then at 1 o'clock with Todd, and 4 o'clock with Dom Salvia. Every hourly entry will qualify you for one of the grand prizes. Everything from espresso machines to a robot vacuum to much, much more. Civic Media, we have 8 grown-up gift grand prize winners in the statewide text-to-win contest. So stick around for that special word coming up after 11 o'clock this morning. It's only one syllable. Easy word.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good word.
It doesn't matter. I still can't win.
No, you cannot win. We are hoping to be joined by Heather Dubois-Burinami from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We were talking before the break just about Governor Evers and Robin Voss's desire to have state employees back in the office and about funding for education. And we wanted to talk about school vouchers because this is a big, big thing. And the right loves school vouchers. They love
very much so.
They love school choice.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my biggest issues with these schools is the apparent lack of oversight and the apparent lack of accountability to any state agency. We are paying for them now.
With our tax dollars,
we are funding two school systems.
Yes.
And then when you stumble on a story like this one, from the Copper Courier, Cameron Stevenson, this is in Arizona. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays has announced another round of fraud charges in Arizona's school voucher program, this time involving over $100,000 granted to the non-existent students of fake parents.
That is amazing.
Isn't that something?
Holy monkeys.
A grand jury decided to indict Johnny Lee Bowers and Ashley Meredith Hewitt on 60 felony counts of fraud, forgery, and money laundering. They allegedly forged documents like birth certificates and utility bills to use those as proof of their residency in Arizona. They actually lived in Colorado. For 5 different families. Now, listen to this. They came up with birth certificates for 5 different families made up of 50 qualifying students. Yeah. 5 different families, 50 qualifying students. Of the 50, 43 are believed to be non-existent children.
And who says the right isn't against birth control?
It was the goal of the conspiracy that the defendants, Colorado residents, got money from the Arizona Empowerment Scholarship Account Program.
My God.
By submitting applications for children, both real and fake. They then used this money for their own personal living expenses while continuing to live in Colorado. They were awarded $110,000 in an 18-month period shortly after the state's Republican-led legislature expanded the voucher program.
Boy, tell me more, Jane.
To date, no guardrails or transparency or oversight has been added to the program, resulting in rampant fraud and a consistent deficit in Arizona's education budget. That's my issue with vouchers, is there isn't enough oversight and there's not enough accountability. I don't understand how the right is okay with this.
Well, as someone, I can't speak for them, but I always want to. My guess is the response will be, well, much like the response when it comes to abusive police officers. Well, that's just an example.
A bad apple.
That's just a bad apple. But what does the whole sentence say? A couple of bad apples spoils the bunch. And when things like this happen, and I know, for me, it's the accountability. For me, it is the, well, the accountability on this, this is just fraud. This is just a crime.
Yes.
But it's also the lack of accountability on when they get the students as well. I mean, we've spoken about this in the past. A charter school or a private school or a magnet school can take voucher funding money and they can say, hey, we welcome everybody. Well, oh, Jane, your daughter, she's welcome. And then the moment we know we get the money, and if your kid is queer or something we don't like, we can throw them out and keep the money.
Yeah.
That's how this works.
It gets even better.
Oh, boy.
Again, this is in Arizona. Similar charges were brought against three employees of the Arizona Department of Education. Their alleged scheme was much more efficient. Prosecutors say the three forged documents for 17 students and defrauded the state of more than $600,000. Again, they worked for this agency. The employees began defrauding the state in 2021 using the information of real children, but then expanded their operation to include fake students after the voucher program became universal. It's astonishing to me.
Do I get my money back?
You do not get your money back.
So that money they've taken from my taxes for the school system that they've given to these private organizations, which I don't want to fund in the first place.
Right.
They have trusts. They have endowments. They make a lot of money. I mean, my high school that I went to, I think the tuition at my high school that I went to when I was a senior in 1996 was $1,000. I think it's $12,000 a year. Oh,
my goodness.
And I know they give scholarships away, but they don't need my money. They shouldn't get my money. And the moment that they don't account for those students, they want to kick a student out for whatever reason, cool. Write the state a check and give it back.
And get the money back.
But this is in my opinion, this is criminal on a lot of levels. The fact that we're paying into it to begin with. The fact that there's no accountability. The fact that fraud like this can happen. And I'm sure it's not the only case. It's just the ones we know about right now.
Right.
Like I said to you earlier in the show, I was aware of a human being who started his own school, his own Catholic school right here in Racine. A pre-Vatican II Catholic school of, like, you know, Latin Mass.
Oh, wow. And
yeah, it was the old school. Like, women, you don't matter. Boys, shut up. Children should be seen and not heard, that kind of thing. He took tons of voucher money. He didn't pay teachers. He wasn't accredited by the Archdiocese in Milwaukee. He had no affiliation with it. They didn't want anything to do with him because they're not teaching pre-Vatican doctrine. So he got all this money.
And is he an accredited teacher?
I don't think so. I think he was a banker or something, an accountant.
Arizona Representative Nancy Gutierrez, a Democrat in Arizona, has pushed for years for more oversight of the voucher program. She says the continued fraud is evidence,
yeah,
that more accountability is necessary. As a high school teacher and a member of the education committee, she described what she sees as a blatant double standard, ever-increasing scrutiny of public school spending, while voucher spending gets a hand wave and a blank check.
Yep.
Pretty much.
And the stamp of approval of one side of the aisle in every single state house, as well as the federal government. They are just willing, able, and just eager as all get out to funnel hundreds of millions. Yes, I said hundreds of millions of dollars into these voucher programs that come from your tax dollars paying, as you said, Jane, and I love this term, a second school system.
Yep, because that's what it is.
And, you know, I don't know if Heather will be joining us today, but I will say this. I will be putting in the show notes the Wisconsin Public Education Network's it's not a calculator, but it's a resource tool where you can go in and see where you live, go to your county or your
town,
wherever it is. I think it's by county. And it will show you how many dollars are being diverted from paying for the public school system into the private school voucher system. And then ask yourself, why am I voting yes on these referendums to up my property taxes
when we're paying for a whole separate school system?
Exactly. That my kid doesn't go to.
Right. 855-752-4842 if you'd like to leave a comment or join the conversation. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thank you for calling. What did you want to say about this?
Great topic, guys. As usual, you do such an outstanding job covering how the people are getting, I'll say, grifted. I mean, come on, give me a break, folks. You got people stealing your goddamn money, and it's ridiculous. I mean, I worked in the school system years ago as a school psychologist and therapist and, you know, in that area. And those teachers work their hiney-annies off.
Yep.
And they go out of school, and they have to keep up their education, and they have plans for the kids. I mean, they are, you know, I used to just get sick to my stomach when Walker got in, running down teachers, you know, and all these Republicans calling in how bad the school system is. Well, God darn it, when they started getting these vouchers, and I know of a little kid that got kicked out of kindergarten after their parents paid a lot of money and didn't even get a refund because he couldn't handle the little kid and he really wasn't bad. You know, he wasn't doing bad things. I mean, they're just and then when you go to, we're a mobile society. When you go from down south, which used to be good education, and you go to different places, they know where you went to school and how much education you had. Now the kids, a lot of these kids can't pass these tests, you know, so they're equal to the kids that they're joining the new school system with.
Right.
I mean, it's just ludicrous. Anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on. Thank you, guys.
It's okay, Jeannie. We love hearing from you.
We do. We love hearing from you, Jeannie. I really appreciate it. You can join us, too, 855-752-4842. We're talking about voucher schools and not specifically what's happening in Wisconsin, but I certainly think that it's worth bringing these things up because I believe that we have the similar lack of oversight over our voucher schools. Here's another one. The Arkansas Times headline reads, "Can you really use an Arkansas school voucher for horseback riding lessons?" The answer is yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
The Arkansas Learns Act, signed into law last year by Governor Sarah Sanders, created a voucher program sending public money to private school families to use for tuition, fees, and other expenses. This year, they opened it up to homeschoolers.
Oh, yeah.
They opened it up to homeschoolers.
I heard it's really hard to get into homeschool. There's a lot of
a lot of restrictions.
Real application process. You got like real good like essays you got to write.
Keep in mind, homeschool families don't have to pay tuition bills.
Nope,
because they're teaching at home.
Yep,
but they can use the voucher money for a variety of other education related expenses, books and supplies, curricula, computers, private tutoring, and extracurricular activities.
Well, that's no longer than just the voucher. We need to call it something else then, because when I think of school voucher, I think a school voucher is getting you into that school that is going to pay your tuition. Now it's just these are grants. These are statewide federal grants that are just you want to learn how to ride horse. You want to learn double neck guitar. School vouchers will give you the money for it. I mean, this is getting out of hand.
Well, and the whole thing homeschooling has even, there's no accountability among homeschoolers. I tried to do a story about this a number of years ago, and I couldn't get anyone to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
Because they kind of like that, at least from what I understand, they kind of like not having to answer to anybody.
Oh, they love not having to answer to anybody. Alicia on the live stream just before we go, she says, "I know private school vouchers that are putting in new payment playgrounds, remodeling because they are flush in tuition and voucher money. Meanwhile, public schools are begging for a new roof."
We're going to keep this going. If you'd like to join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global, Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio. Ready, set, go.
Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert, the
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody had to fake
right. Lean left, straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, said he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, Pete Schwabba, host of Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. will be joining us. Going to talk about the Golden Globe nominations, which just came out today, and about Pete.
Yeah.
Really nice article about Pete in the Cap Times. He lived in L.A. He wrote screen things. He has contacts. He knows names.
Screen doors.
He knows big names.
Ooh.
So we're going to talk to Pete coming up after the 11 o'clock news, and then that will be you want to be listening for the word.
The word.
The word. The word for our statewide text to win contest and your chance to win wonderful and fabulous prizes that could but potentially won't change the course of your entire life. We were talking about school vouchers before we went to the break.
Yes.
And in particular, I saw this article in Arizona about the amount of fraud that is being uncovered with vouchers because there's so little oversight for them. Democratic lawmaker Gutierrez said she has introduced several pieces of legislation that would make the same regulations on voucher spending that are currently in effect for public school spending, which you would think would be a reasonable suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those proposals were denied right away by the Republicans in Arizona. Enrolling fictional children to attend public school would be remedied almost immediately. However, a couple of these folks were able to enroll dozens of non-existent students and suck state money for years. The indictment names 30 fictitious students and outlines a complex web of fake families created by these people. Each family had 6 children getting vouchers, which prosecutors say were used to fund the pair's personal living expenses. And now you can use these vouchers in Arkansas to take horseback riding lessons.
Absolutely. You want to learn to ride a horse? Thank you, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah. There are no income eligibility requirements for either homeschool or private school households in Arkansas to get a voucher. So well-off homeschool families who are already paying out of pocket for horseback riding lessons now get them completely comped by the state. And families who have paid private school tuition before this new statewide program, now they're getting taxpayer money to help boost their bank accounts. This voucher costs the public about $6,856 in this school year. There are 14,000 students in the program, most who attend private schools. About 3,000 are homeschooled. The majority of the $96 million Arkansas spends on vouchers is flowing to private schools, particularly religious schools.
I want to, and to, the other thing too that I wanted to bring up before is that one of the things they can get you with vouchers is saying, like, you know, so-and-so comes from a poor family. We want to give them the opportunity of the best education. So we want to give them a voucher. And that's a way you can say, like, oh, I understand that.
Right.
But a lot of these individuals, I'll bet you any amount of money, fraudulent activity notwithstanding, a lot of these individuals have plenty of money to begin with and just getting flush with cash, as Alicia Saunders said in the previous, flush with cash just to pad their lifestyles. Because homeschooling also does not mean barefoot in a trailer park, broke. A lot of these homeschooling families are well rich off because they want their kids learning exactly what they want their kids to be learning. So why not make a little money on the side?
Along with being able to use school vouchers in Arkansas for horseback riding lessons, they also include climbing gyms, dance studios, and jujitsu instructors. One of the owners of one of these stables involved in this voucher program says they have only recently been approved as a vendor. She was surprised by the negative reaction on Facebook and has declined to comment otherwise. Now, in some instances, in particular these horseback riding lessons, and I used to volunteer for this, it's called equine-assisted therapy.
Yes.
Which is wonderful. It's really, really wonderful for children with disabilities, for children with some emotional problems.
Yep.
It can be a really good and helpful thing. So that's one thing.
I love it.
But if you want to learn horse jumping,
I don't
necessarily see that as the same kind of
thing. What was the name of the thing that the Romneys did? It was not decoupage. That's art.
Oh, dressage.
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 My child is majoring in dressage. We need private funding money.
Yeah. We need free money.
I want free money, and I'm being serious at this point.
I just think, again, if there were the same accountability measures, if there was the same amount of scrutiny on results from private schools that our public schools have to endure, that shouldn't be difficult. Yeah. That they have the same kind of scrutiny and accountability, because it's our money.
Mm-hmm. And it's one voucher is a lot of money.
Well, if they're spending $6,800 in Arkansas, what are we spending for one voucher in Wisconsin?
A lot. And like I said before, I'm going to put a tool. There's a toolbox. I'm going to link into the show notes today that will show you in your county how much money is being diverted to school voucher programs. Your money. Your money.
Our money.
Yes.
Absolutely. News coming up next. Stay with us when we return. Pete Schwabe, host of Nightlight, will be here. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, children's author Laura Bird with some holiday gift recommendations, not just for the young book readers on your list, but for the grown-ups as well.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Earl
Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The suspect in the killing in New York of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson has been charged with murder. CBS's Matt Piper tells us the six-day manhunt led to a McDonald's in Pennsylvania.
26-year-old Luigi Mangione was spotted at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, by a worker who had seen photos of the person of interest in the case. Local police responded and arrested him on illegal gun and other charges.
The ID provided was, in fact, a fake ID, and he was subsequently arrested for a forgery charge.
Altoona Deputy Police Chief Derek Suo says it was an officer only on the force for 6 months who got there first.
He had asked the suspect if he had been in New York City recently. And that really invoked a physical reaction from the suspect. He became visibly nervous, kind of shaking.
Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
Political aftershocks continue in Syria following the ouster of the Assad regime. There is a desperate search to find missing